The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It is hour number two, and we are glad you are here. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. One of the things I had planned here for the 8 o'clock hour was to take you inside the statements of Tony Busby, the lead attorney for the defense of Ken Paxton in the impeachment trial. And I'm going to do that here in just a few minutes and offer up the phone lines, of course, to you about any of the stuff we were talking about in the first hour, any of the stuff Mike and I were talking about, Pence and Christie in the race now. How's that going to go? Various things just in the news today. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. But as we were beginning the M&M segment there with Mike, we learned of the death of Pat Robertson at the age of 93. Let me share some of the articles, some of the thoughts, just a little bit about this very historic moment for this very historic figure. Pat Robertson, the statement from, you see the release from CBN, Pat Robertson, longtime TV host, religious broadcaster, educator, humanitarian, and one-time presidential candidate, died at his home in Virginia Beach early Thursday morning. He was 93. The executive vice president for academic affairs at CBN, we are deeply saddened by the loss of our beloved founder. Dr. Robertson was a globally renowned leader, broadcaster, philanthropist, educator, author, accomplished businessman, and most importantly, a faithful servant of God who dedicated his life to glorifying the Lord and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mike and I talked about the notion, because Pat Robertson was a trailblazer in so many ways of taking the key issues of the day. And it's, you know what all of these things are going to be referred to as. As soon as you hear an issue referred to as divisive, right? As soon as you hear, as soon as that, the D word is dropped, it means that liberals don't want to talk about it. Step forward and talk about how many genders there are. Divisive. Step forward and talk about the degree to which life in the womb is sacred and deserves to be protected. Divisive. Divisive is the weapon used to describe any issue where liberals fear they are losing, and where the left fears that it's not just conservatives who are against them, but that God is against them. This is sort of why we don't have Democrats like JFK anymore. We don't have Democrats who are comfortable talking about God, welcoming God into the public square, because it's an old Lincoln quote. I think it's a Lincoln quote that we spend a lot of time wondering whether God is on our side. And what we should be doing is wondering whether we are on his side. So as Pat Robertson has passed, for generations of conservative Christians, Pat Robertson was just such a familiar face on TV. The 700 Club, how long, as I say, did that thing, how long has that thing been running? His roots were as an ordained pastor in the evangelical church. In 1960, he founded CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, in Virginia. In 1960, he held telethons to pay the bills, and CBN and its programs would eventually spread, around the world. And CBN's success spurred Robertson. Everybody talks about Jerry Falwell at Liberty University, and they should. Robertson founded Regent University in Virginia Beach in the late 1970s. And then a decade later in the late 80s, 1988, I remember this, Pat Robertson running for president. In 1988, the Reagan years were coming to their term-limited end. And there were a bunch of folks, obviously, then Vice President George H.W. Bush, who would obviously ultimately prevail. But it was a big field of folks. Reagan was over. It's like, hey, open season. Let's see who's going to carry the baton of the Reagan mantle. And though that campaign obviously did not rise to the level of a nomination, boy, did it elevate Pat's profile among what you might call the politically engaged evangelicals. And the following year after that, this dovetails right into some things that we've been talking about lately. Many people have, in fact, Laura Ingraham gathered, who did she have on last night? I've got it taped. I probably ought to hop to this here in a bit. The notion, she talked to Newt Gingrich about why do people run for president who have no chance of winning? Or, I mean, there's no such thing as zero chance. For some there is. But, just such an uphill climb, such a ridiculous lottery ticket caliber chance of winning the presidency. And I've given you the multiple reasons. To get on TV a lot, to get your message out there, to attract attention and thus money to causes that are important to you. By the way, all of which is understandable, all of which is supportable, all of which is ethical, all of which is plausible. And in some cases, it might be like in the case of Vivek, or maybe even Tim Scott, maybe even Larry Elder, maybe Nikki Haley, to run for running mate. Hey, if this doesn't work out, maybe I'll be thought of well. I'll make clear that a lot of people like me and dig me, so maybe I'm running for running mate. But in Pat Robertson's case, that 1988 presidential campaign, and it didn't go far electorally, but it sure went far in the court of public opinion. Because right after that campaign in 1989, Pat, with the help of folks like Ralph Reed, founded the Christian Coalition. And at that time, so it was funny, I remember, because this is, I've been doing talk shows at this point for almost a decade. And you had your Christian Coalition, and you had your Moral Majority. And it's funny, because you would think there'd be like competition, but not really. There was a lot of mutual respect there. Jerry Falwell Jr. is president of Liberty now in Lynchburg, Virginia. What is it about Virginia? all this religiosity, all this evangelism coming out of Virginia. And at least you got Glenn Youngkin, but it's largely a purple state now. An interview some years ago, I remember Jerry Jr. saying that Pat Robertson was influential in coalescing the voting power of the Christian right. So as he is remembered today, and I'd be a lot of condolences and a lot of observations, oh my, and a whole lot of hatred, a whole lot of hatred. Hang on a sec. What did I see a minute ago? And he should wear it. He and his family and his legacy and his fan base and his supporters should wear that hatred like a badge of honor. Here we, it didn't take me long to find this. Terry Heaton, who's this? An author. Oh my, here we go. The Gospel of Self, How Jesus Joined the GOP. Good for you, Mr. Heaton. We've talked about this a lot. And listen, if it seems like Republicans have this market cornered on biblical values, we can't make that up. The left tries to make you think that Jesus teaches that we should have a welfare state. No, he doesn't. The left wants you to think that Jesus teaches that we should have open borders. No, he doesn't. But does the Bible teach that life is sacred and thus we are right on abortion? Yes, he does. Does the Bible tell us how many genders there are and thus we are right on all this trans radicalism? Yes, it does. So to the great chagrin of Mr. Heaton, Republicans are marking up point after point after point, not just on winning political battles, but winning biblical battles as well. But here we go. Heaton is the author of Gospel of Self, How Jesus Joined the GOP, a book critical of the Christian right, you think? Heaton told NPR in 2017 that Pat Robertson wrote the playbook many others in conservative media would later follow. Quote, "We guided people into Republican Party politics because Pat Robertson, frankly, was a politician who happened to be a televangelist." He was a televangelist who decided to become a politician, which every member of clergy has the right to do. My good friend James Robinson talks about this all the time, that there is a necessary connection between the preaching of the gospel, between the sharing of God's word, and sharing along with it the ways in which that is to be lived out in a real life here on this planet while we are here. Robertson's reach extended to the White House, where he interviewed presidents, including Ronald Reagan. Decades later, like many leading figures on the Christian right, Robertson became a supporter of Donald Trump while visiting Regent University. Trump called Robertson a great gentleman, adding, "The job he has done is incredible." Let's see. In a 2017 interview with NPR, Pat's son, Gordon Robertson, said the criticism of his father was politically motivated and driven by left-leaning websites. Well, you're right about that. "That drumbeat," he said, "I think has really shaped the public perception of him in a way that I think is unfair. It doesn't take into account all the things that he's done, and by any standard, he has done some incredible things." Yes, he has. Pat Robertson has passed away at 93. All right, your thoughts are welcome. 866-660-5759. Here's what I think I want to do here, because let's do. Having just mentioned the notion of people who run for president and really have no chance of winning, so why do they? Laura Ingraham did have Newt on about that. Let's do that, and then once we get past the 8:35 Gordon Griffin news burst, we'll dive into the remarks of Ken Paxton's lead defense attorney, Tony Busby, and what he rolled out in a 2 o'clock press conference yesterday afternoon in Austin. Mark Davis, happy Thursday. It's 8:21. I just cannot do Total Eclipse of the Heart.
It's a heartache.
Oof. But I can do this.
Nothing but a heartache.
Because I like this record. Fall of 1977. Bonnie Tyler is 72.
You when you're down.
And I remember being a, you know, snarky 19-year-old or something. And thinking, wow, can we get this woman a lozenge or something? Then I learned vocal cord surgery. So I said, you know what? Good for her. It did leave her with what critics called I don't mean critics as in bad. I mean music critics, an unusually husky voice. Well, she certainly turned that into some car payments. She it's a heartache is one of the first records she put out following a surgical procedure to remove some nodules from her vocal folds. God bless her and happy birthday to Bonnie Tyler, who is 72. All right. So Laura Ingraham last night musing about people who, you know, running for president who really have no chance of winning. So what are they thinking?
We were wondering tonight, what is motivating them, pray tell? Well, Chris Christie threw his hat in the ring, and it's pretty obvious. He's just trying to be the flamethrower against Trump.
He's a baby. Whenever you want to criticize him in any way, that's the way he responds. If we had a child who conducted themselves like that, we'd send them to their room, not to the White House.
No. You know, that's a point you can make. It's a point anybody can make. And you're not wrong. But here's let me get into Gordon here, and then Laura and Newt talked about this a little bit. Here's the rank stupidity of that. And I know, when you're in a primary, it's blood on the walls and, you know, I'm the only good person and all these other people are bums. I know that's the frequent formula. Here's why that is unbelievably stupid if you are trying to catch Trump. No one will catch Trump. No one. Without peeling away some percentage of the people who love him, or at least like him, or are interested in him being president right now, who are among his big fat poll numbers right now, no one is going to catch him without peeling some of those folks away. And no one is going to catch him by bagging on him. No one is going to. Are these people stupid? So just again, it's free. Hi, download the podcast or listen to the show live. And DeSantis mostly gets this. Gets it better than anybody else. Even he'll take and listen, I'm not saying listen, if there's a policy where you say, you know what, I totally disagree with this, I would have done X, Y, or Z differently, that's fine. But these insults are just the height of stupidity. Everybody running against Trump, everybody, I mean, unless they're self-admitted liberal squishes, if you got a Chris Sununu or, Liz Flippin Cheney or any of this nonsense, I mean, they're running on Trump hate. They're trying to peel away the sliver of the Republican Party that is indeed afflicted with TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. But if you got a brainstem and you're trying to pitch as any kind of conservative, here is your message. Here it is for free. Ready? Trump years were great. I voted for him. I'm glad I did. Thank God he was president. I want those policies back, but he can't bring them to you anymore. He's unelectable. They're flaws. Some of them are his fault. Some are not. You know, it's going to be voter fatigue. He won't beat a Democrat, and I will. So if you want Trump policies back, I will bring them to you because he can't anymore. Ba-da! Was that so hard? Was that so hard? 8:31, Mark Davis, Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Little Alanis from Jagged Little Pill and All I Really Want. And all I really want is to figure out what's in some of these folks' heads. I noticed the announcement in North Dakota, and they found some people to actually be there for Governor Doug Burgum, who said that we need a candidacy focused on, borders, energy, and national security. Okay. I think we have some of those. I believe we do. And some of those candidates are people who, how can I put this, that we've actually heard of. This is the one I can't figure out. This is the one where I it might just be just pure ego. And by the way, ego, a high self-regard. Not everybody has to have it at Trump levels, but everybody who runs for office, everybody who runs for anything, you can't run for office and be incredibly pathologically down on yourself. Eeyore is not running for anything. No. So to some extent, you got to have that. And it's good. It's great because, hello, you want to say, listen, I am the guy. I am the guy you can trust. I am the guy with the best ideas. I am the guy with the energy and the agenda to make our town better, our state better, our country better, et cetera. But I just, what exactly is the governor of North Dakota doing? I mean, we've talked about folks who want to get on a debate stage to attract some attention to themselves, make some money for causes they believe in, weigh in on causes they believe in. Doug Burgum is a lovely governor of North Dakota. God bless him. That's great. That's wonderful. Go run your state, and that's great. It's a free country, of course. Everybody gets to run. I'll never say that somebody should not run or criticize somebody for running. I'm just baffled. Vivek is trying to make a name for himself, and he will. Larry Elder is shooting the half court shot because he wants to get out there and make some points that are not made enough. Tim Scott may be out there making some of those similar points after that performance on The View a couple of days ago. Maybe Tim Scott has some fighting spirit in him that I didn't know was there. Chris Christie is there to be the voice for Republicans who want to see somebody try to give it to Trump. Good luck with that. There are a lot of candidacies that ain't going to be the nominee, but I get them. I do not get Mike Pence. This is weird. I think, and I have nothing but good things to say about Vice President Pence. There's just, as I've said a million times, there's just no appreciable appetite for him to be president of the United States. When I say he has to know this, maybe he does. So maybe he's one of those candidacies that's running, knowing he's not going to win, but it just means something to him to be in the race. And if that's Larry Elder, it makes sense. If it's Vivek, it makes sense. If it's Chris Christie, it makes a certain type of sense. If it's Nikki Haley, it might make some sense. Hey, I'm a woman of color, because that's a big deal these days. And all right. But in Mike Pence's case, I can't help but think that it's personal. Because last night in the CNN town hall, there's Pence talking about, you know, the recklessness of Trump. And look, if I had been, I will never know what it must have been like to be in the Capitol and have a roving horde of people looking for you, chanting that you should be hung. That's some stigma. That's a sting that's going to last. You know, that's an owie that's going to hurt for a while. And maybe it will make you engage in misplaced aggression, seeking not just to blame the hooligans who are coming looking for your scalp, but with misplaced aggression toward President Trump, whose righteous indignation was on display that morning, motivating so many folks to do exactly what he said, to peacefully march to the Capitol to make clear in a massive show of dissatisfaction that in this flawed election result, the Electoral College numbers should not simply be accepted without question. That was the goal of January 6th, and it got screwed up mightily by some folks who simply could not stay on the right side of the law. Thanks, guys. Big help. And so I'm inclined if that sting and stigma and trauma is with Pence, and okay, but if you're going to step into the public square and run for president and say that, like, those people who are coming for me, that, like, Trump incited them or that's Trump's fault, that's idiotic. And that's a problem. So, I don't know. All right, talking about Pence was the first guy that Laura Ingraham asked Newt about, essentially saying, why?
Well, I mean, look, Pence has been a good congressman, a governor, a vice president. He's young, fit, smart, has a nationwide base of people who admire his traditional conservatism.
By the way, I love hearing people referred to as young who are 2 years, just 2 years away from me. Mike Pence, born 1959. He's a baby.
I think he sort of thinks, why not? I mean, a lot of these guys are focused on the idea that somewhere down the road, whether it's in the Justice Department indictment that we were told today is about to occur, or it's the Atlanta indictment, or it's some other thing, that magically Trump will disappear. And then there'll be a wide open race. And frankly, in a wide open race, Mike Pence is very attractive, just as Governor DeSantis is very attractive.
But not in the same way. I mean, Mike Pence has a movie, a Hollywood style presidential countenance. He looks exactly the right way. He says, on issues, pretty well exactly the right things. The fighter's DNA is not there. He ain't Trump. He ain't DeSantis. He ain't Larry Elder. So that, one of these things is not like the other. But yeah, in a wide open, if Trump were not there, would his vice president be at least plausible, probably make the final three candidate? Sure. But Trump is there. And when I say he ain't going anywhere, I literally mean it. Will Trump's lead falter somewhat as fatigue sets in with indictment after indictment? It might, but it might not. For every voter who says, "Oh, enough. Thank you, Mr. President. I loved when you were president. I voted for you twice, but uncle, enough. I'm out." And they go over to DeSantis or whoever. For every one person I've described in that way, there may be someone who is what I call the Jason Whitlock move. Jason Whitlock, wonderful journalist, runs the Fearless podcast. who says, listen, I don't even know what I think about Trump. I mean, I've approve of him on some things, not on others. He was never my favorite guy, blah, blah, blah. But today I am hardcore MAGA. That is what Jason Whitlock told Tucker Carlson, of all people, on the occasion of this absurd Alvin Bragg indictment. The victimization, the persecution of Trump is going to create people who might be kind of ambivalent about him, who will express support for him and even vote for him to say, in essence, pardon me, oh, hell no, to these vicious, politically motivated indictments.
I agree with
you. The problem for all of them
is... I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I mean, I love Mike Pence as a person, and I adore him as a person, actually, and I think he's done a lot of great things for the country. But Pence, for some reason, still is caught in the old establishment GOP wing.
More bingo.
Kind of Bush wing of the party. Right. I think he played populist with Trump. He's not really a populist. And again, I like him a lot. I mean, DeSantis, yes, because he's a populist. He's more of a America first conservative. But if Trump goes away, Trump's views are still going to be dominant in the party, Newt. That's my point. So all these guys can say everything they want about the rah-rah Reagan days of the GOP. But that old coalition is gone. That coalition does not exist anymore.
Hello.
Well, you may be right.
Newt, not used to getting that kind of even loving, affectionate, constructive pushback. I think Laura's right on that.
On the other hand, maybe you're not. The fact is, I'm not sure the average voter goes out there and says to themselves, gee, am I part of the Reagan coalition? What the average voter wants to know is, are you going to help fix inflation? Are you going to help fix the economy? Are you going to control the border? Are you going to fix our schools?
Okay, all true, all true, all true, all true, all true. What's Newt leaving out? What's he leaving out? Are you going to beat down the left? Are you going to fight against the wokeism and the leftism that is poisonous to the roots of our very country? Because, again, I think I've phrased this a lot of different ways, so here comes time number 43. Just coming out there and being a wonderful person with a great biography and smart ideas on a bunch of issues and a bunch of white papers and a bunch of briefing books, it's not enough. You've got to beat down the left. This week, right now, this week in the news, New York City shrouded in Martian atmosphere-style orange air because of wildfires from Canada. That's terrible. I hope that all gets resolved. And we have poisonous morons saying that it's flipping climate change. And they're comically wrong, which is what it is, but these people also have power. And we have a country that is filled with stupid people. I'm so sorry. I love America. It's Americans that I have a gripe with sometimes. And that is that there'd be a little bug that they said it's climate change. It must be climate change. There is no uniquely appreciable uptick in fires. No uniquely appreciable uptick in anything. Not storms. Not anything. It's all a damnable lie. And there are people who will use this. New York City, and you know that's why it's leading every newscast, too. New York City has orange air. Here's people wearing masks. Yeah, that's part of it, too. And here's some idiot they found to say that it's because of climate change. This week, story number two. Did you catch this? In Tallahassee, a Bill Clinton federal judge, Judge Robert Hinkle, attempted to, the protections offered in Florida by the Florida legislature under Governor DeSantis against gender mutilation of children. 18 states have these now. Thank God Texas finally pulled its head out and became one of them. And this judge, with the most partisan, bitter screed passing in the form of a judicial ruling, said that, you know, the elephant in the room is that gender ideology or that the gender perceptions exist. We know they exist. I know there's such a thing as a dude who thinks he's a woman and vice versa. That doesn't mean that he is, and it doesn't mean that we should carve up children based on that false belief. So this is why we fight. We have judges like this, insanity like this, on gender radicalism, on climate radicalism. This is why, hi, I'm Joe Blow. I'm running for president. I really think we need a strong border. Good for you, Joe. Hi, I'm Joe Blow. I'm running for president. I really think the economy sucks and we need some things to help businesses and individuals. Lower taxes. Good for you, Joe. Hi, I'm Joe Blow running for president. I think, you know, all again, a head full of good ideas, every candidate must have it. But if you don't have the fighting spirit, if you're not willing to armor up, saddle up, and get on a war footing, ideologically speaking, with these people who believe these horrific things, it's not enough.
Are you going to knock down the weird left-wing wokeism?
I mean, now, there you go.
They have a series of things they want, and any of these candidates potentially could make a case for it, including the governor of North Dakota, who is a self-funding billionaire and an interesting guy.
Is he?
Again, you're in this sort of environment.
Laura, he's a globalist.
Yeah, but he's a globalist. I mean, well, I think, again, he's interesting. But, Newt, you come on this show week after week, which we love, and we've pointed out on the border.
Maybe not anymore. Kidding.
On trade, on China, on all these issues that the establishment GOP got so screwed up for this country, ushering in Obama and all the disasters that he brought from the wars on out. They're still clinging to those. I mean, if they could, they'd do another surge in Iraq. I'm telling you. So I think that clinging to that old vision of the, not Reagan, but the old vision of, you know, wars of choice, of massive immigration amnesty, that's just not going to play.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. 852.
Close on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. Close on Sunday.
Do you know?
You my Chick-fil-A.
Excuse me. Do you know?
Hold the selfies. Put the gram away. Get your family. Y'all hold hands and pray.
Get your family. Y'all hold hands and pray. It's Kanye. And Closed on Sunday from his album a couple years ago called Jesus is King.
Don't let them.
Yeah, we were digging on Kanye there for a while. And I always will for stuff like this.
You my Chick-fil-A.
Went a little nutty there after.
You're my number one with the lemonade.
Get a load of this.
Raise our sons. Train them in the faith through temptations. Make sure they're wide awake. Follow Jesus. Listen and obey. No more living for the culture. We nobody slave.
Man, this is part of why, you know, on the day that Pat Robertson passes, and there are reasons why he was greatly loved and greatly hated, this was part of why, I guess, really a couple of years ago, Kanye's journey through the popular culture had a bunch of people who, like, were not fans going, whoa, good for him. And a whole lot of people who were fans saying, whoa, what the what? Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies. Put the gram away, Instagram. When you got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for vipers. Don't let them indoctrinate. Raise our sons. Train them in the faith through temptations. Make sure they're wide awake. Follow Jesus. Listen and obey. No more living for the culture. We're nobody's slave. Happy birthday, Kanye. He's 46. 8:59.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.